to say that this is Dead Drunk Uncle.
About nothing we just talked about.
Oh, it's about everything we just talked about. And more. And I'm Steph, and I'm a host. And I have two friends with me. One of them is Tessa.
Hi.
And the other one is you.
Yeah, hi.
Anonymous.
Anonymous host. Hey, that's like Case File.
Oh.
Casey McCase File. We can give you a name like that.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's a contest.
Oh, we'll think of it. Yeah,
the
it's a contest.
Gets a gold star.
Yeah, that would
what
be good.
What are we going to call our anonymous host name?
Yes.
She needs something easily that rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
Too.
I have work constraints. I'm allowed to have my own thoughts and opinions, kind of.
Well, you know, that's the one thing that I do enjoy.
I feel, though, like no one is like, I'm going to take sound bites from these three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really put it to them.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we're going to take off, so.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going places.
Yeah.
But at that point, I'll be like, what's his name? Z-Dog MD or whatever. I'll go ahead and let the world know because I'll be an iconic. I'm kidding.
I was going to say, I don't know who Z-Dog is. I don't know what.
I don't know if that's what his name is. He did like the segue right off the bat.
He
did like the, he's a doctor who's like a, you know, influencer. I don't know. But he did immediately, like, I think he was initially popular for, like, parody songs, you know, that kind of made fun of, like, healthcare stuff.
Oh.
And then, like, now he probably has a podcast or something. I don't know what he does. I see him pop up on Instagram sometimes. He does a lot of things. I think he maybe has lost a little bit of credibility in the medical community, but I don't even know.
I'm curious.
Yeah, the parody songs are funny though. They're really
always
funny. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. I watched the. I don't know what the name of them. They're like comedians doing. They're being like CDC interns. Like when they changed the quarantine days from like 10 to 5, and it's like it was because one of the guys working there thought that his girlfriend was trying to just blow him off. No, I'm quarantined. Yeah, right. Yeah. 5 days. I want to see what she's all about. Yeah. Total selfish reasons for everything going on.
Probably accurate.
This is a fine cup of coffee.
Good.
I've just decided that I need a better coffee maker.
Okay. I do like the coffee maker.
It makes it really feel. I feel like the commercials, the Progressive commercial, don't be like. Your parents. This is a fine cup of coffee.
You can't help being like your parents when you get a
what
new cup of coffee.
What is that coffee maker?
Do you have a coupon? Is there a coupon?
Let me get a pen.
Wait, didn't you say that other person who lives around here was at the home renovation store?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Can you please get Tessa a bun coffee maker?
Yeah. We need the specific coffee maker. And that's another thing about becoming your parents, too, when you go to Lowe's on the weekend.
Yeah. You don't even know, wait, does he know why
I don't
there?
Do that.
Kind of, I think.
Okay.
My cat has taken to sleeping in my bed and sleeping like right here.
Yeah.
And my mother is a cat lady. Not like a crazy cat lady, but that's her whole source of basically, you know, companionship at her house. And she like gives it everything. She buys it roots and tuna and adds water because he likes water and like buys another sandwich from like the fast food place for her cat. So like the other night, like I'll lay this like on my right hip facing like away from and
no worries, man.
And she'll like get right here. So eventually I have to roll over because I can't take her making out with me at night. But then she was like stepping over and like getting on my boobs left and right. So I was like, oh my God, okay, I will roll the other way so you can be like happy. And I was like, I rolled over and I was like, I officially am becoming my mom.
Yeah.
And
to make the cat.
The man who we will call Jeremy was like, and then in the morning he's like, you know what you said last night? I was like, yeah, I was awake.
So. I have a cat like that likes to sleep on my chest right here, which means that I start breathing like and like someone will have to relieve me of the cat so that I can like move and
breathe,
and then she'll come sleep on my side.
I'm not allergic to cats, but I feel like when they're in my face, like I'm a little, you know, I think it probably makes sense. I'm not allergic to dust, but if I breathe it in, I'm going to have an issue.
Yeah, I have a Himalayan. She walks and her hair gets in my eyelashes and then like it's all twisted up.
Yeah.
It's very awful and itchy. But I'm not allergic to her. Just her nonsense.
Tootie likes to sleep on my face. She's trying to smother me.
Yeah, oh, I think that's what they mean.
It's like the heat is coming out of your head, your mouth, and your nose.
I have an infrared sauna, and I was in there yesterday, and the cats were trying to get around the neck part.
Yeah.
Like, if they could have squeezed me out for the heat, they would have.
She has a heating pad. Well, not a heating pad. It's for pets, but like it's a heating pad. Sitting right there, turned on all the time.
Seriously,
every day.
That's a thing?
Yeah. Because you can't use the heating pad because... Yeah. I don't know, for some reason it's bad.
Safety.
That's what
or,
yeah, heating pads get hot as fuck.
So it's specifically for pets, and it's just on all the time, and it's in my room, but she'd rather sleep on my face.
Hmm. Aww. What does that say about your face?
Well, that she wants it to die.
I did tell my cat yesterday, I was like, if you keep doing this, I'm going to die, and then I won't provide what you wanted,
right,
which was the warrant. Yeah.
That won't help. But you will be food then.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the cats will eat you.
Yeah. Yeah, she would. I mean, I hope someone continues to feed her, but.
No, they're just going to leave you there. Yeah. We don't have to worry about her for a minute. We'll be talking about this and that later. Yeah, this isn't going to
be. This will be like podcasting here and be like, step around the body.
In order to get successful, we just create the crimes we talk about.
That,
right.
That would be a whole story in and of itself, though.
Pause it quick.
Yeah. We'd give someone else some definite information to work with.
Yeah.
I already have the idea for what our cover is when we have to prove that we've gone crazy. It all revolves around young children's buttons.
Yeah. We're going to have a super successful podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Super successful.
I feel like it's really going to take off after they tell me that you was the killer.
Yeah. it's so hard, I feel like, for people to keep up. But the screenshot from the conversation with your sister made me giggle. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, does she not listen? Does she not...
I had this conversation because there was a new article that came out, and I read it, and I was all excited about it, and it was late at night, and my sister lives in a different time zone.
Involved in the I-70 case.
Yes. So I was like, well, at least, you know, it's someone who knows about it, right? So I texted her, and I even said, you're the only one who'd be up at this time, so I'm going to text you about it. And she was like, oh, my. It'll make more sense later, but I said, what did I say to her?
You were like, I think you were like, basically like, oh, there's some like information, like,
they found DNA.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
you know what? Duh. I can read it. We're at the people's court here.
Right.
Exhibit A is the text message.
You know what?
It's making me giggle just thinking about it.
Right? It's so stupid. Okay, so I texted her, and this is the headline for today's episode, actually, so this is perfect. The Indianapolis police got DNA back on the I-70 killer. No announcement yet, though. I'm really excited about this, but it's too late to text anyone here, so sorry, you have to hear it. No matter what, they know who did it now, and that's so exciting for these people. It's been 30 years in April. And her answer is, wow, I hope they are able to find the culprit. And I said, well, I think he's dead now. And she said, oh my. And that was a dramatic reading of my text messages with my sister.
That's another segment.
This isn't like a sister that
which it
I
would
didn't
in fact,
know until recently or something.
It would in fact be her dead drunk uncle as well.
Exactly.
Right. I can see she's already trying to distance herself from
Yes.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
And
maybe.
Remember last time when I was saying, I don't even exist in my family, it's like I'm invisible.
Yeah. Our uncle might be a serial killer and they have DNA.
Except they'll allow you to still be paired up with your uncle.
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
can be, yeah.
yeah. You can go take
you
care
can be
of
over
it.
There.
Yeah, they choose to ignore it in such a willful manner. Like, you have to say, I am not going to acknowledge this to respond that way. Mm-hmm. And that's fine for her, but it pisses me off for me.
Validate this!
Yes!
Son of a bitch!
Oh my god.
Well, even if he's not the I-70 killer,
it would still be nice
he's
to be
something.
He's something terrible.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Something bad went down.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking, I was talking about our friend, your uncle, our, you know, I don't know what we call him.
Yeah.
His relationship to
Damon.
Us. Anonymous, but I was saying how, like, the auctioneer just labeled his pipe bombs as pipe bombs and kept it moving, and they were like, what?
Yes.
I was like, there's so many aspects of this whole thing, even if he is not the culprit.
Yeah.
Even if he's not, like, you found children in positions they shouldn't have been in, and pipe bombs, and no one batted an eye. And then I think, oh, I'm being gaslit.
Yeah.
It's very emotionally and mentally confusing.
Yes.
There's a lot of mental and emotional gymnastics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going on. There was something else I was going
to
say, though. But
yeah,
I
and if you are, like, somebody who hasn't listened to the other episodes, that is, in fact, what happened. Like, dead drunk uncle died, and, like, his estate has a bunch of really weird shit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it was surrounded by pipe bombs.
Yes. Yeah. I was just thinking last night when I was going to sleep, because this is what I do, and I was like, you know, it's funny because, like, I was thinking when the whole pipe bomb thing was happening, and I was out there with, like, the deputy people or whatever, and the guy's taking my statement, and he's like, this, like, why did he do, like, he has no way to wrap his brain around it. And I'm like, because he was crazy. What are you talking about? Like, I don't even understand the question, because I'm so deep in it that, like, no, the weird part is that it's labeled pipe bomb and left on the thing. That's the weird part. And he's still stuck up the weird part. Why the fuck does this guy have bombs? Who was he after?
Appreciate the cake, don't marvel over the icing.
Just yes!
Come on.
like, there's so many places to get mind fucked on this.
I as a whole, all of it's fascinating. And, like, because we've talked about it so much, sometimes, like, it just becomes... I just watched the Night Stalker documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, he's never been, like, I don't know, one of the ones I've really paid attention to, but holy shit. Holy shit.
Yeah, I have to rewatch that, because I did watch it, but I wasn't paying any attention and I fell asleep.
But I know I've heard his story before, and so much of it.
I don't even know who it's about.
Richard Ramirez, Night Stalker.
Oh,
I didn't realize, like, he would murder and rape anyone.
Yes.
And sometimes he killed them, sometimes he didn't. There's no rhyme or reason.
And when he was caught, the neighbors ran him down in the street.
So he had run for blocks.
Yeah.
He had, like, been on, so they had decided to release his name to the public.
Oh, shit.
When they figured out who he was after, like, months and months of trying to, like, because they didn't work together at the time, and there was no, like, database.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything, prints were still on paper and trying to compare stuff, and they released his name just as he was getting back into town from Arizona. Like, he had gone to visit someone and was coming back, and he's on
train.
Oh,
my God, he was visiting the same person in Arizona.
Oh, shit. It's your
uncle.
Sorry. It was the same time frame.
Oh, shit. Well, that was like the 80s, right?
Yeah, 86, 90.
Yeah.
Like, that all stretched out. So, he goes, stops into a store and sees his face on a magazine and was like, ooh, and, like, leaves, gets on a train and is like, I have to get out of town. Like, he had to make it 8 miles. And he's on the train and, like, all of a sudden he realizes people are looking at him.
And he,
like,
has a very distinct look.
Yeah.
He's, like, 25 feet tall. He looks like one of the Ramones, and his teeth are all fucked
if
up.
If his mouth is closed.
Stinks.
If his mouth is closed and he was showered, he's gorgeous. So,
yeah, it's...
Like, he had all kinds of groupies.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but, like...
No.
Yeah, but
yeah.
He just looked so dirty and smelly.
Yeah, but, like, once he was cleaned up for court, like, he's very attractive. Like, sculpted. He's very obvious. This guy looks down and has a picture of him on the newspaper and, like... and he gets off the train and takes off running, but then, like, by then the whole area had been tormented because he just busts into, you're 86, it doesn't matter, he's gonna, you know, sodomize you and then beat your brains in with your own belongings, like, or rape your children and leave. It just depends on the day. So people wanted him, and they just, like, I guess, was it a crowbar, like, the guy helped
him.
I
don't know, but it was like people
mobbed him.
Like a movie, like Frankenstein.
Waiting for the police got there, like, had to figure out how to, because they wanted him alive. So that he could, you know, tell them about the murders and stuff. So, like, the cop gets there just thinking this is some kind of civil unrest, realizes who it is, and, like, tries to get him away from
him. I'll have to watch this.
It's wild.
And that's how Web Smith was born.
Well, you know, it's, I don't know, like, all of the details on that, I'm sure I've heard them before, because he's prolific. But, like, in this situation, too, like, even if we find out that this is just some random guy,
mm-hmm.
either way, your uncle situation mm-hmm. is so fascinating to me.
Yes.
And I don't understand how people who knew him don't want to know more or why or what or how much more or...
I don't understand how people aren't, like, people are like, I feel like, no, horrible, I don't want to know. How can you not want to know more?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you, I always just want to know more. Like, sometimes maybe I wish I didn't know shit that I found out, but...
Now that you know it, you can't unknow it?
Yeah, but I'm better for knowing anything new, okay. I think. Even if I don't like it. It's more knowledge. Yeah. Listen to me, I'm so smart.
It's because you've learned all those things.
Yeah. No, I think everything kicked in all at once in my head.
Well, I wish that, like, I didn't know, or I wish it didn't happen, and all of those things.
Well, like, you know, all of that, but me, everything that happened, and this is just for me, but I was completely removed from all of it, you know, so, like, I wasn't dealing with the shit, like, when it happened, like,
mm-hmm.
I had some turbulent relationship with this uncle or anything, I was very far removed from any of it, so at least I don't have that part of trauma, like,
yeah.
I wonder if he was doing this when I was there, if he was... I didn't really spend any time with him other than the entire family mm-hmm. at Grandma's house until he couldn't stand it any longer and left. So, I'm almost as removed from it as anyone else, from, like, the crime
right.
part of it.
Yeah.
It's just that you found the stuff.
Yeah, well, I didn't see the stuff, which is lucky, but I feel terrible that Jim had to see it.
Well, right, but you...
But...
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
All of it, I'm sorry.
Well, you don't have anything to be sorry about.
No, but still, like, it's just...
It sucks.
Yes.
But I kind of feel like, and maybe this is my self-loathing or something, but I feel like I can probably handle it better than other people or something. Or other people... It's better that it happened to me because other people wouldn't investigate it as much and find the answers. Because, like, I was telling the girl at the dispensary last night when we were talking about you. Because, yeah, the podcast and everything. And, wait, what was I saying?
Like, you can handle it better than most because you have the, and at the dispensary,
and
you told her.
I need to find out.
How you removed from
right
it a bit.
In the middle of the sentence.
It's cool.
It happens.
You took the magic mints.
I did. I took so many of them because they're only 2.5, right?
Yeah.
So I keep going, that's all right, have another one. It's all right, have another one. Oh, it was a good point about the girl at the...
You told her at the dispensary.
Well, anyway,
talking about
I went to the dispensary last night because I realized they were open for another hour. I thought they were already closed, and I was trying to do an online order for today. And then I realized they were still open, so I ran real fast and got there. And then one of the gummies I was getting was the CBC ones. And I said, I have to get these because my friend just got them, and she said they changed her life. And she used it because I talk forever when I talk to people. So, which is not something I used to do, but the weed,
whatever.
She used to take these pear ones and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, who is your friend? Did she come here? And I said, yes, that's Tessa. And she went, I love Tessa.
Yay.
And I said, everyone who meets her loves her.
That's so nice.
Yes.
That is nice.
Maybe not true, but
no. Very nice. And I said,
I don't know why they wouldn't.
Podcast. And she was like, ooh, what's a podcast? And I'm like, dad drunk uncle, and it's, I think he's a murderer and stuff, and she's like, oh my god, I'm gonna go put my earbuds in right now. So we have a new listener.
Hi.
Hi.
Meanwhile, it's a lot of us just talking on tangents because we've taken the gummies that you so nicely recommended.
We enjoy them.
Yeah.
We appreciate them. I bought so much stuff at the dispensary last night. I got this papaya ayahuasca. Mostly because, I mean, it sounds awesome, right?
That's yeah.
Say.
Yeah, it just sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty entertaining. Gave me a little bit of energy.
Hmm.
Which is good because I have a whole bunch of wallpaper to put up.
Oh, gosh. That sounds...
Peel and stick wallpaper. I fucking love
you.
It.
Fun for you.
It sounds absolutely awful, and when I did it, I loved it.
Did you do it by yourself?
Yeah. I did it at Bats when I first got my Orange 43.
So that's...
I got everything done.
Anyone I know who has a card, they're like, have you tried the Orange 43?
Yeah.
I love that. But these, I love those gummies. That CBC stuff is nice. I feel so much better, just better. And I don't know, I take the CBC and the CBG together every day. And I'm getting low, and I need to go back. I think I'm,
Today is Patient Appreciation Day.
No, but here I am, and...
Yeah, I'm mad. I would have saved a few bucks if I would have waited until today, but it wasn't worth it to wait and maybe not go and maybe not get everything.
No. And I don't know how many days I have left. We're filling in space.
Look it up.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be a son of a
I can show you how to look it up.
Well, look at us.
Only because I have it saved in my bookmarks because I was stoned trying to find it again and could never find it.
Anonymous has stepped out for a moment, so we are pausing that conversation.
I cannot enter my password.
Will you remove this from the podcast, or should I play background music? See, look at this dog getting its...
This dog is getting his teeth cleaned or something? I need to
sit silent. They could be doing something else totally. Look how they have his teeth propped open using that empty tube.
We're going to make a mask for his teeth.
Right.
It's going to be beautiful.
Oh, are they giving him veneers? Oh.
He's going to have a dog with regular teeth just going to his face. All perfect.
Yes.
He lives in Beverly Hills.
He has prom. Look, they're putting diamonds
on
him.
Where's my...
What in the world are they doing?
Seriously, are you going to cut this out? I might. It depends on how I feel when I listen to it. Sometimes I think, should it be stupid? And then when I go back and listen to it to cut it out, I'm like, no, this is hilarious.
I remember listening to the one episode, like, please take out the part where I sounded like a donkey.
No, I can't find
or
my...
Or screaming ghosts. It was a goat, not a donkey. A goat.
Where's this?
Okay. Anonymous has returned.
How
do they have braces?
Oh, it's in my reading
list. I think they're making dog braces.
No, it's not.
That seems silly.
The podcast is really going off the rails.
Yeah.
Well, I can't find my bookmark all of a sudden under bookmarks. Oh, it's in my favorites. It's in my favorites. There we go. Okay. OhioMedicalMarijuanaRegistry.com.
Oh, okay.
And you already have to have something in there, you know, when you pay the $50 to get your card after you get your card.
Yeah.
So you should have a login for it. And let's see what I bought last night. It's... probably too much. Probably like 40 days.
Yeah, they just go so fast. Yeah,
they do. Oh my God. Oh wait. No, it's not on here yet.
I just don't like the way that Ohio does business.
But look, last month I did great. I got all my 46 days. You're already paying me.
When do you re-up?
It'll be March 28th.
Oh.
I just did. On the
so
12th.
Far out.
No, it was just last week.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But I guess my purchase from last night isn't on here, so I don't know how much I used. But anyways, I have to check that because, I mean, they'll check when I go there. But if I only have a couple of days left, I'm not going to bother making the trip in Ohio. Maybe I'll go on a vacation somewhere else instead, where it's cheaper.
Is your thing canceled?
What?
What are we talking about? Your Goldcom or whatever it's called.
Oh, no. We were just talking about, I was just talking about going to Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Just in general.
Okay.
Like, I went, we went to Zingerman's last time I went up there.
I don't know what that is.
It's like a deli bakery place. Mm. And I've never been either, but my friend that I went to school up there, and it was delicious.
Mm.
Like, there's like the main place, and we didn't go to that. We went to these other... like, there's a separate store, like the creamery, and they had all kinds of cheese. I got this delicious six-year-age cheddar or something. It was amazing. And there was a coffee shop, and I got a delicious cup of coffee. And then there was a bakery, and I got a ginger coffee cake.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
So, but there's crystallized ginger in
it. I'm stuck on the cheese.
That's
so
like
so crunchy
good.
A little bit. Oh my God, it was so good. And I didn't even finish it because, you know, with ginger, or maybe it's just my system, you can only eat so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's going to come out of you the next morning, right? So
I don't have that issue with it.
Oh, it moves
but
my bowels.
Maybe I do and I don't realize it.
well, if you eat some of this super ginger cake, you will definitely notice it. And by the time I got down to the last slice, I haven't thrown it away yet, even though, like, it's been in there a couple weeks, so clearly I'm going to. But I got down to, like, one piece, and I just didn't.
Yeah.
If I had a granddaughter, she probably would have learned this week the words please and cheese, and she signs more, so she says, keys more cheese.
Oh. Please send a video.
Yeah,
I don't have it. Mike told me about it yesterday. He said she kept bugging and bugging. He's like, I don't think you need any more. I don't. And he said she was like, please.
Oh.
And he was like, okay.
Yeah. You're cute. I have
you definitely got your point across. All right.
I'm going to start doing that. I could walk up to Jim.
Jeez. He's like a little mouse.
Right. Yeah. So, the killer.
The killer.
Well, one thing, okay, because that, I'm pretty sure I printed out the article here that has, like, profile kind of stuff. And I tried to get anything that was, like, profiling in general so that we're actually getting information. It's so important. And if you have any information, you can contact the St. Charles Police in St. Charles, Missouri.
What's his name?
Captain Raymond Floyd is the captain. But there's like a phone number. The phone number on the original wanted poster, or not wanted, but you know,
in the post whatever. Office.
The original phone number on it is still works. It's like 800 something.
Google it.
Oh yeah, I can do that.
I printed out the thing, but I didn't end up doing, or not printed it. I pasted it in there, but then I didn't do like a script because it was like I just want to read the article stuff.
Yeah.
So I just printed the article so I can go through it. And the pages aren't numbered, so I could be backwards. But, oh yeah, they are backwards because I see that.
Wow.
And that's where, okay, this is from WTHITV.com.
Just kidding, I can't Google that fast enough. Oh, I found it. Do you want it still?
Yeah.
Okay, 1-800-800-3510. So 800-800-3510. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember there being 3 and a 1 and a 5 in there.
Yeah. Okay.
I just didn't know what order.
I would remember the 800-800 probably more than the 3 and the 1 and the 5.
Yeah, that makes sense. But you can call them. And there's also online you can submit tips on their website. You know. So do it. Jesus, don't keep a secret anymore. It's been almost 30 years.
Well, they're about to crack it.
Yeah, it'll be 30 years on April 8th. It's 2 days after mine, too.
I knew that. Well, I almost said that's your birthday.
Yeah,
and then I was like, oh, that's not true.
It's close. So, and also, do you want to know what April 8th is? His best friend's birthday. Mm-hmm. The one that's dead. Mm-hmm. And that's the day the killing started. Mm-hmm. The best friend wasn't dead yet, though, but the first killing was on April 8th, 92. And I did find out when the Turd family moved to Arizona.
When was that?
It was in 1988.
Okay.
At least from what I found from my resources. And so, I knew it was in like the late 80s or early 90s or something, just based on what I remember, like being over there, so it had to be when I was very young. But if it had been, like, 1991, I would have been like, fuck, this is definitely him. Because it would be the upsetting event that happened was his stupid friend's fucking moving.
Yeah, trigger. And
yeah. But regardless, I mean, it still shows the timeline. And then, well, that's all the really useful information I got from that new resource that I had. I can tell you guys about it later. I can't talk about it. But what?
When are they going to announce? As if you know,
well,
you don't know.
Yeah, I don't have any information that the public.
He didn't text you. He didn't call you.
Well, this is from Indianapolis because my contact is the St. Charles people, and Indianapolis, that jurisdiction is the one where Michael McCown was murdered there, and so on that case, they did get DNA back the other day. Well, they announced it the other day. They didn't announce, like, who it was or anything, just that they had DNA results back. So I guess they didn't really say if it's a full profile or a partial profile or blah, 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 blah. But I feel like they know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the person's dead, or else they wouldn't have made an announcement that they have DNA before they verified the DNA with that person. You know, like the Golden State Killer, they didn't say we have his DNA, and then they went out and got his DNA because it would have been harder to get it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Oh, it's exciting.
It is. So
we're going to have to figure out another case.
Oh, no, we'll just be able to keep going on this after everything starts.
That's true. You're right.
So
it would make
more
sense. Yeah.
So the DNA is back from the murder of Michael McCown. It sounds like they want to just wait to compare, because all the jurisdictions after that meeting in November, they all met in Missouri, whatever. They all had stuff that they sent in to see if there was DNA that they could get from it. So I feel like they're probably waiting to compare with each other, kind of to make sure which crimes are definitely all the same person.
Yeah.
And then they have to notify the families and everything, and then make it public. So I feel like something is just telling me they're going to do this on the anniversary. Because the 30th anniversary move.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like that's when it's going to be. But of course, I don't know anything. But the only thing I do know is he said probably in February that he would think that the ballistics report would be done. But that wasn't definite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only going to tell me whether or not that one gun they tested could be the murder weapon. And I don't think the one they tested was. So, I don't know. But if they have DNA, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it becomes kind of a moot point.
And especially if he's already dead, we don't have to worry about, listen, it's my justice. But they don't have to worry about, like, trial and evidence and everything staying just so that there's not a technicality. I feel like they wouldn't have even said they had it back if the person was still alive, or they thought they might still be alive.
Yeah.
So
you'd kind of be playing your hand a little bit. I feel like that
would
give people...
And for as long as they've been working, like... This is not like some new thing they just decided to pick back up. It's like they've always been working on it. So that's what I say. And then I found another article that said more stuff. There were a bunch of articles saying that they were trying to get an FBI profiler, or that they met with one or whatever, but there weren't many things I could find that actually gave a profile. But there were a couple things. And I found some older articles too, but this is a newer article from my favorite, St. Louis KMOV TV. They're always on my side. They have a lot of articles.
Always on your side.
Always. I think I should work for them. So, and this was the FBI profiler's Larry Ankrum and Quantico and everything stuff. He's worked on hundreds of serial killer cases. Indiana, Missouri, and Kansas, they reached out to him. He says, I start by looking for cookie crumbs left along the way. Early on, I realized this case was very unusual. You don't see serial killers targeting businesses this way. I think the idea that he could just drive in and pull this off thrilled him. He has spent time fantasizing about this, picturing it in his mind. Investigators found it odd that the killer would pick busy locations.
Mm-hmm.
Ankrum thinks it made sense. I don't think he even knew what store he was heading to.
Crimes of opportunity.
Exactly. He probably thought more people might help him blend in, make him comfortable. And as we have heard from the few witnesses we had, this guy doesn't look like the boogeyman. There's nothing alarming about his appearance. His priority was to get in and get out quickly. His whole MO is in and out. That's what she said. Since we're referring to the murderer, I feel like I can make a joke about it.
Yeah.
It's not like making a joke at the expense of anyway. Okay. He had enough personal skills to convince them that if they just cooperated and went with him to the back room, they would be fine. And with him, I feel like what he did... I just imagine all this. Mm-hmm. I feel like he went in and was like, hey, yeah, I'm supposed to be here to check this whatever unit in the back,
right,
because he was the HVAC guy. Mm-hmm. And that's how he got him back there. That's my theory, my hypothesis. Mm-hmm. Huh. And afterwards, okay, after he kills them, he's running away. His heart is racing. It's like he has run a marathon. It's very gratifying. Blah, blah, fucking cares what's gratifying. He thinks that he's smarter than everyone else. He likes being named the I-70 killer. He probably never knew he was. Well, no.
Yeah, he would have known.
He would have known he was.
Yeah.
And sought after.
He wouldn't have been known, or I don't think it was something that was talked about a whole lot around here, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So maybe he didn't get enough accolades from it.
Maybe.
Did he collect newspapers? Like, was there...
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no, like, news articles or stuff?
Mm-mm.
Weird newspapers.
Wait, no, that's not what I'm going to say. This, that seems,
I wonder if they were harder to come by since, like, you know, if there were no murders like near here, that it would pop up in local publications, and then if your stops on the road are mostly just to kill people in the Payless, like,
right?
And, you know, like, maybe you wouldn't come across the...
And he didn't have internet, so I don't know how much he would have known about it, but
mm-hmm.
that's kind of where I think, like, if his people he was visiting
mm-hmm.
or whatever, going with him or whatever, had, mm-hmm. like, there was some kind of involvement there. That...
Well, and internet was used a little more, obviously, like, task oriented rather than like finding local info or whatever.
Yeah.
More than local. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you were getting on to, like, do some kind of a task you needed to do.
Not like now,
with,
just
with, like, dial up.
That's Jim's ringtone on his phone.
Oh, that gives me, like, it's like
sound.
Nails on a chalkboard.
It is. It's terrible. Okay, first I don't... Oh, this is talking about when he went at the bridal store when there was the two women there. I think it was the bridal store. He didn't expect to find two women in the store. Instead of just shooting one, he has to tie them up. He probably wasn't prepared for that. Second, we know he tried to keep the noise down by muzzling his gun with a wedding gown. And I found that book about how to make a silencer in his house. That's weird. Okay, anyway. Third, he is confronted with the customer who walks through the door after closing. And what does he tell him? The same thing he probably told every victim. All I want to do is tie you up so I can get away. So that's the guy who, at the cummerbund.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This was impressive of a killer's abilities. High risk environment with a lot of stress where multiple things didn't go as he had planned. He didn't panic. That's one thing that makes me think maybe not him.
Yeah.
He was surely nervous, but he showed maturity. That's no relative of mine.
Right.
It's impressive. This killer is not some dopey guy. He's in control of his... I don't like them complimenting him, but whatever. Okay. I know he's not. He's just doing his...
He's good at what he did.
Yeah.
30 years.
He showed us consistent patterns, which allowed us to paint a picture. He showed very little criminal sophistications. For example, serious killers would never leave shell casings at the crime scene. That is weird, isn't
uh-huh.
it?
How
I feel like he thought, because he built this gun,
the ego behind
no
this.
One could catch it. And look how I can just do this. No one's going to catch me.
Mm-hmm.
These people are idiots.
Yes.
That's definitely his attitude, my uncle's attitude. That's
right.
How he was. So that's something that goes back now against the maturity. So these are those cookie crumbs, he says. He has left us with some real potential as far as physical evidence at every scene. So they've never said what specific evidence,
mm-hmm.
But every jurisdiction sent stuff in. And he says he's not as convinced as the detectives that the killer was using the Irma Work 22 German pistol. That gun is awfully hard to carry and hide, but it has nearly a foot-long barrel, and that's not what some witnesses described. But if it is the Irma Werke, or whatever, it is so rare and unusual, there must be a reason he would choose that. It must be very important to him. Maybe it's a ceremonial piece for him or something passed down from a family member. There is some sort of emotional attachment. That gun would be his partner in this. like the one gun that I think it was the thing that he made, and it was in the case, mm-hmm. and he always had it.
Would it that have been the first gun he ever made?
Probably.
And that's why there was the emotional attachment?
Probably. That gun would bring in the killer's acquaintances. If that specific gun is so important to him or has a story behind it, he has probably told somebody about it. Mm-hmm. Like the story about how he had his friends come over so they could see the gun he made, and he was trying to shoot it, so he attached the string to the truck and turned around the corner so he could safely shoot the gun.
Jeez Louise.
Here's another thing that I just saw for the first time. That is something. Besides that, somebody knows this guy's characteristics. We know from the Wichita Witness that when the killer got nervous, he kept rubbing his face over and over. That's a specific nervous trait. Somebody has seen this man do that before. He did that?
Really?
I do that all the time, too. I rub my face a lot, but he definitely did that. Like, I, you know, have my glasses on like this.
Yes.
But he did that without his glasses. He did that all the time.
Oh, my gosh. I need to know.
And, like, you know what? Probably a ton of people do it all the time. So I'm looking for connections. I realize that. But when you find that, it's really fucking disturbing.
Well, it wouldn't be a very compelling podcast called Dead Drunk Uncle if you didn't look for connections.
Yeah.
If you were just like, I think he did it, but I don't really know why.
Yeah, he probably didn't. There's no evidence. Bye. let's see. Then the article next says, what about the gun? I-70 serial killer's weapon of choice may have been the oddest choice of all. In a cold case where nothing makes sense about the killer or after a recount of killing stock. I think I pasted in some shit that didn't make sense here. Oh, it's just the end of the article. And I think there were pictures in between that I cut out.
Oh.
Because I didn't want to use up my ink on pictures when we're doing a podcast.
Right, now that seems reasonable.
Okay, he says the killer is in his 20s or early 30s at the time, which would make my uncle too old, and believes that he either lived or worked in the Indiana area, so that would not fit my uncle. Serial killers usually start in their comfort zone, have a problem somewhere, then return to their comfort zone. This guy started in Indiana, ventured to Wichita, had a problem, and came back right to Indiana. It's textbook. You know, or he was driving from Ohio to Arizona. Mm-hmm. And back and forth and back and forth. And also, this is a very important final message that Ingram says, and I quote, he's also a coward, shooting women in the back of the head.
Oh.
And I think...
At least he followed up with some, like, derogatory...
Yeah.
Not, like, he's not, like,
and
you know, romanticizing him. And like, not that he was romanticizing him, but...
Well, yeah, but talking about how he did a good job, But... It's very true. Like, to be all, I can get away with this, everyone's stupid, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to shoot the women in the neck when they can't see, or in the back when they can't see me. Like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? That's not what makes you, like, tough. I mean, not that, obviously killing someone doesn't make you tough, but... To shoot them in the back of the head. That's... Okay. This one, okay, this is page 4 and page 3. This was another article that talks more about the Billy Brossman, that they really think it was the same killer. And this article was a really good one that I found in a place when I find the first page of it that I have. Here comes the whole music again. Okay, I already had it.
There we go.
I guess. I only had... Oh, I did. Yeah, 2 through 4. Okay. So, this article is from... Oh, this is also from KMOV TV. Always on our side.
Always on your side.
Yes. Okay. Okay, this is in Terre Haute. When Billy Brossman was murdered at a convenience store near I-70, the day after Thanksgiving in 2001, nearly 10 years after the last killing that was known to be the I-70 killer. Okay, I was the responding officer on this case, said Police Deputy Brad Rumsey. You walk in on something like that, it sticks with you. Back then, I never thought it would turn into a cold case. The videotape showed the killer entering the store, grabbing some beer, then approaching the counter. This is the one where it's Seth Meyers. Mm-hmm. He then quickly pulled a gun on Brossman, who turned over the cash register. The killer then grabbed a few bills, forced Brossman to the back of the store, where he shot him once in the head, killing him instantly. Then he ran from the store, leaving the beer and the rest of the money on the counter. Detectives kept asking themselves, what killer leaves money behind? And if his motive wasn't robbery, what was it? And then they remembered the I-70 killer from a decade before, who killed for the thrill of killing. They compared the surveillance video to the I-70 composite sketch. The similarities were remarkable. I mean, they are. I mean, that's him. I don't think I have one of the sketches with me.
Right.
But, you know.
He looks so young, though.
He does. He looks very young, and he looks very thin to me.
Yeah.
Like, I know they said the guy was kind of, like, average thin or whatever, mm-hmm. but he looks very thin. Of course, this was 10 years after the witness saw him. He could have lost weight. He could have been sick. Who knows? But, I mean, that guy, I'm sure, is not my uncle.
He used to be in his
30s
or 40s.
I know.
So that would have, he would have had to have been in his 20s.
Right.
Or even less. Yeah, barely. And that seems like they wouldn't have said 20s or 30s if he was that young.
Right, if
he
was,
this young 10 years later.
Yeah.
They would have guessed him younger, I would think, but... Besides matching the composite, the surveillance tape gave detectives other clues. They noticed the killer appeared to be wearing a wedding ring. And if you listen closely, although I didn't find any audio and I don't really care to, you can hear the two men speaking on the tape. Maybe I should, though, just to make sure.
Yeah, might be interesting to hear what the voice sounds like.
But fingerprints on the beer and cash register were too small to trace. When the surveillance tape was shown in the media, tips came in, police had leads, but they had no clue it might blossom into the I-70 killer. They had a name, so they already, from these pictures being released and the tips that came in, they had a name of who this is. And with a possible ID, investigators kept digging. Two people claiming they knew the suspect both said they were nearly certain who it was. Police later found other friends of the suspect who agreed with the earlier pair. But the tips alone were not enough. They tracked the suspect down and found him living in Missouri. He told police he worked for a large department store and had traveled the country doing remodeling jobs for them. Had he ever been to Terre Haute? Police asked. Yes, the suspect said, sometime in 2001.
Oh, dun, dun, dun. Right, but was he just there and went in and bought beer and left?
Like, maybe. police had their suspect. Detectives from Terre Haute met with detectives from the other I-70 cities to compare notes, but they never had enough to move forward. Years would go by. They would meet with the suspect again, this time getting a DNA sample, but they could not get a match. Oh. I don't think I saw that part before.
Dum dum dum.
I didn't realize that. Okay. News 4 has learned that arrest warrants were applied for in the Brossman homicide, but authorities felt there wasn't enough evidence to move forward. But they are not giving up. The I-70 case sits on Rumsey's desk now, and investigators are cautious to publicly make any connection between the cases at this point.
Okay, so, but in this article, he remains suspect, correct?
Yeah.
The culprit, if you will.
Love
yes.
The culprit.
They really act like they know for sure it's him.
Uh-huh. But
so,
obviously, since they can't.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think that the chances are really good. Yes, that's the sketch of him. And the older sketch with the facial hair does look like what he looked like when he before he died. But, I mean, I think probably a lot of random old dudes look like that.
Haggard.
And there's so many, even when you look at the composites, they all look very different from each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everyone sees things differently, remembers things differently, and it's traumatic, you know, that's definitely going to affect. I know I've completely remembered random, stupid things that mean nothing totally wrong.
Yeah.
And it just because it was happening like during this trauma.
Right.
When I was in his house. And so, I mean, that certainly accounts for some of it. But I think it's more because, you know, they see different things that everyone notices, you know. So, like in one, it might be these are probably the right eyes because what they really saw was this thing in his eyes. And this other one, this is definitely what, like, his mouth looked like. You know, it's hard to tell. And anyone can take any two pictures and go, oh, that looks just like
him. Yeah.
So, I mean, I know I'm reaching and I know I'm looking for it.
So.
But if it's not this guy, it's my uncle. But I didn't. I don't think I realized that they got a DNA sample from their suspect and it wasn't him.
Right.
So that must not be the person that they got the warrant for. But they have an arrest warrant, or they had an arrest warrant in the Brossman homicide. So, I guess we're going to find out any minute.
I know. I Googled it. Like, I'm sitting here as you're talking. Like, is there
every
anything
day
new?
I Google
is there
it?
Anything new?
Yep. And then I go, last 24 hours. Last 24 hours. Let's see what else is. Oh, yeah, this is the same article. They definitely believe it will be solved. And okay, and then this is the next page. It's unknown at this time if it's connected to the I-70 killer case, said Rumsey. But there are similarities. It's at least worth looking. But it would be premature to say absolutely that this is part of that case. We have developed possible information on who that person is. We are working on that case separately from the I-70 case, not in tandem. They are being investigated separately, but in our minds, there are similarities. One day, there might be a way we can connect the two, but at this point, we cannot definitely do that. And thus, the question looms. If the I-70 killer did indeed strike nearly 10 years later in a similar fashion, is it possible that he struck somewhere else in the past 30 years?
That's what they said about Night Stalker too.
Yeah.
Like if they were this willing to just kill people, then it's just the only one.
I'm gonna stop and start a new one because it's almost to an hour.
Okay.
TV, always on your side.
Always on your side.
So I went back into newspapers.com and got some older articles that gave any kind of like description. It wasn't profiles, but you know, any kind of descriptions that I could find in old articles too. So we'll start with the one that's really tiny so I don't have to sit here and worry about reading it. Look at her shit.
Oh my goodness, gravy.
I only wanted to print just the article, and when I cropped just the article, or else it would have been all kinds of shit.
Uh-huh.
There was no way to, like,
change
it.
Glass?
I might. That looks like a magnifying glass.
It is.
Is it?
Oh, well, no, it's not. It's a magnifying mirror, so you can't, like.
Is it not a coaster?
No, I used it. I used it as a coaster. I'm getting older. It's literally for me to occasionally pluck those little random.
Yeah, perfect lighting. I wish I had
a.
You know what you can use?
I do have a face razor as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And this isn't used.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's a face razor. It's an eyebrow razor.
My girls use those all the time.
You dermaplane your face with it.
Mm-hmm.
When
I'm having like.
Well, no, it's not like that kind of razor. It's got little, it's like safety.
When I'm having especially like a lot of dry skin that I can't seem to get
yes,
to.
It gets all
it'll
of your
like,
dry skin.
Mm-hmm.
What?
It's super nice. And you just feel so smooth after.
Yeah.
It
takes all the peach fuzz and all the dead skin. And now you can go and get a facial and they'll dermaplane you with like a surgical type scalpel thing. But you can just get these eyebrow ones on Amazon. They aren't as smooth, so like you get a little cut from the edge sometimes once in a while, but it's totally fine. You just go totally fine.
Yeah, I've cut myself. That's why half
but
the time
I just teeny little scratch that you don't even.
It's not a big deal, and right now masks cover most of it. So
you can have it if you want it.
That's making me very nervous.
Oh, okay.
Then I'll cut myself.
Well, if you don't want it, I'll show you on myself. I didn't want to put it on my skin. If
no,
that's what I give
no.
it to you. But,
after
so.
Having said I don't care, I'm definitely going way back through these tweets.
Oh, okay.
It's really satisfying.
It really
especially
is.
If you have like
you
any little peach.
See all the peach
yeah.
Skin.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
really satisfying.
And they're super cheap on Amazon too.
Yeah.
Like,
I used
like
to have
of them.
I used
like
to have like
on
lit
secret.
Ones, but I don't know what happened to the.
And then your skin is like a baby's ass.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It's really nice. Sure am going back through these tweets trying to find out if I'm right or not after I said I didn't care.
That's so good.
Very important.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So this first article is from the Indianapolis Star on April 9th of 2000. And this is where they're talking to Vicki Webb, who is the survivor from Texas. And this is, Vicki Webb remembers that day in horrific detail. "We talked for quite a long period of time, probably about 20 minutes," she said of the stranger who walked in late that Saturday morning. We talked about merchandise. He was asking about business patterns. I thought maybe he was a retailer too, but he didn't really look like one, but you never know. He was about 5 feet 8 inches tall, thin, almost gaunt." My uncle was never almost gaunt. That guy was almost gaunt. And had a weathered look to him, she said. "The man said he was supposed to meet his niece there and commented on how much she would like the store." The first time I read this article, I shit my pants. Well, not really, literally. No. But, you know, I shit my pants at that.
Niece?
Yeah, his niece would love this store. "He kept looking out the window, and Webb figured he was watching for his niece. I wish they would stop fucking talking about me."
Right.
"Then he asked to see a copper frame. Webb came out from behind her counter, reached for the frame, and turned to go back behind the counter. She didn't hear the man behind her, she never saw a gun, just pop. Webb fell to the floor, conscious but not moving. She made up her mind to live the moment she heard that pop. I thought, oh my God, I have a 13-year-old daughter. Please, I just can't die now. Her only chance of staying alive was to let the man think he had killed her. Webb didn't know it, but at that point, she was paralyzed. She could barely breathe. My body acted as if I was dead. The man jumped over her, rifled the cash register. He went to a small room at the back of her shop, which he found crammed with boxes and supplies. He left the store briefly, then returned. He rolled Webb over and dragged her behind the counter. He put a gun to her forehead. She heard a clicking sound. Then he just laughed. There were sounds from the real estate business next door, and her attacker left quickly. About 15 minutes later, Webb heard the tinkle of the bell attached to the store's front door. A couple had arrived to shop. Webb managed to say weakly, "Excuse me, can you please get some help? I've been shot."
No. Oh.
Jesus. The bullet had lodged between her second and third vertebrae at the bottom of her head, and Webb was saved by an anatomical fluke she didn't even know she had. "I survived because I had an abnormally large spinal column," she said. "Where he shot me, a million other people would have been dead. It took months of rehabilitation to walk again. Webb has since married and moved to California."
Mm. And she's okay.
So far as we know,
yeah.
So, a lot of that sounds like him, but I don't remember him ever being gaunt.
Right.
Like, he was never a real big guy, but...
There was never a period
gaunt.
Of time where he lost a ton of weight.
I didn't see him that much either, though. You know, so if he'd have lost, like, a little bit of weight, he probably would have looked pretty thin. And that can happen in a short amount of time, but that's really reaching. So I don't know. You know? Okay, now this article is from newspapers.com. That's all I have on this one. The rest of them say what newspaper they were from.
Oh, no, look at that print.
I know.
That's
trying. Yeah, this was the only little section I needed to print. And it wouldn't print in a little corner on the page. It had to take up the whole page.
Right.
So I'll read the smaller one first. So I can get it over with. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
According to police and witnesses, Blessing was alone in the store. I wasn't sure I was going to start there. At about 6:15 p.m., when a man dressed in a gray sports coat, slacks, and dress shoes walked across the parking lot toward the store. His actions drew attention because most people at the shopping center pull their cars to the storefronts instead of walking, a store owner said. The man was cool, calm, and collected, a witness said. He smoothed his hair back in the wind and continued into Blessing's store. About 6:30 p.m., there was a loud pop that sounded like a gunshot, said a witness who called police. Police think the man forced Blessing into one of the two back rooms where he shot her in the back of the head. He then left the store, turned the corner of the building, and walked northeast, probably up a steep hill to Woodson Road. Witnesses think that they saw the man briskly walking north on Woodson and east on 59th Street about 10 minutes after the shooting. Sonny Blessing thinks Sarah's beliefs led to her death. Oh, this is the guy who talked about his wife. That's why I saved this one, because this is the quote. I love it. Mm. She believed in the natural way of life and we've gotten away from, he said. Her lifestyle was moving out of darkness and ignorance toward the light. She was a threat to the darkness and evil out there.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's about Sarah Blessing.
What an
appropriate name. Yeah, yes. I was just going to say, what an appropriate name.
And it was a store of many colors.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounds really cool. Definitely a place I would hang out in. And then this is from an article from May 16th of 1992 in the Kansas City Star, from Kansas City, Missouri.
Hmm. Missouri.
Yeah. And they say the gunman was white, short and trim, about 5 feet 6 inches tall and 150 pounds, 33 to 40 years old. He had reddish blonde hair and 2 or 3 days of stubble of a reddish beard. He wore black shoes and a waist-length jacket. Police said the two men had a brief confrontational conversation. The customer backpedaled to the front door and ran. Scared and unsure of what he had happened upon, he waited until 7:30 that night to call police. They have differing accounts of that, but I think that the killer told him to wait or to not. I think there was some kind of threat about that.
Yeah.
Like, come to 100 before you go. Yeah, you know, yeah, like, yeah. One of those kind of things. And I have no idea if that's actually the truth. That was just the impression I got from what I had read before. But that was at that at the Cumberbund at the wedding shop. Mm-hmm. And this one is small. I think it's under the average guy part of this article.
This article.
Okay, they say the suspect has been described as an average guy. A white male in his 30s with sandy blonde hair that has a reddish tint. The survivor from Houston said a sketch of the suspect in the Wichita killings looked like the man who attacked her. Delkey said, whoever Delkey is, he must be an investigator. They're all investigators. There are a few variations among the killings, like Michael McComb, shot April 27th, 1992 at a ceramic store in Terre Haute. He was the lone male victim. And let me tell you something. All this stuff that says about him having a long hair and ponytail being mistaken for a woman, we're ignoring that.
Right.
Mm. On purpose. Because his sisters are very adamant that he didn't wear a ponytail at that time. I think that's... Listen to me, they're very adamant about, I think that...
Did he ever?
Yes. Okay. But, like, not at the time. And they don't think it was a matter of that they thought he was a woman and... There must be something in this detail that is upsetting for some reason, but his sisters are very adamant about that, so they have contacted someone that I talked to, and gave that person an earful about it. So I just want to make very clear that's in a lot of articles, and I've probably said it before, but his sisters say that that's not true, so I want to make sure I say that. But the thing is, that store was called Sylvia's, so I don't think it's that they mistook him for a woman. They just thought a woman would be in there.
Yeah.
I think that's what the sisters were trying to say.
Yeah.
But so I want to make that clear because I'm doing everything wrong in this probably, and I don't want to deliberately do it.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say we don't want to.
Killer strange pattern slow search. This is from the Springfield News Leader in Springfield, Missouri.
Missouri.
May 17th of 92. He's been... God.
Yeah, 92 was so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
He has been described as a cold-blooded psychopath, a murderous hitchhiker, a man who has come to enjoy killing. Authorities have several composite drawings of the serial killer, but few other clues to his identity or his whereabouts. His month-long three-state rampage has left 6 store clerks dead, all at small shops near interstate highways. Police believe it started in the Payless shoe stores in Indianapolis on April 8th. And that was Robin Fuldauer.
You could pay more, but why?
Exactly. And people, they only have one person working in the store, so people were coming in and stealing shoes after she was dead.
Oh,
wait a minute.
They didn't see her. Like, she was in the back, and she was shot dead. And so, like, people came in the store and saw no one there and stole shoes.
I wouldn't want that to be my legacy.
I know.
Like, some lady was
and
dead
I
in the back.
I probably imagine they feel really shitty about it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're Payless shoes. It's not like they, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess to be fair, if you really needed the shoes and nobody was around to buy them from, but
yeah, that's another point. Because I can see myself being an asshole going, God damn it, there's nobody fucking here. What the fuck am I supposed to do? I feel like fucking wait for you. Fuck you, I'm taking them. And then, oh my God.
Yeah.
There was someone dead.
Yeah.
That's true.
But you wouldn't go in the back of the store. I mean, maybe
I
some
I don't know. I might.
Hello.
Yeah, I might peek and be like, hey. Like,
okay.
So, I mean,
yeah, I mean, I'd like to
there is some weird stuff going on in Indiana.
For sure.
They have some weird state laws.
We have a robbery original. Oh, they say he caught a killing fever. Jesus Christ. Police have linked the killings through tests of the bullets and by similarities in the circumstances surrounding the deaths. So, like, they say that the bullets match, but I don't know if they're just saying they're .22 caliber. I mean, they can tell if it's fired from the same gun.
Mm-hmm.
So they must know that it's fired from the same gun. Eyewitness descriptions of a man believed to be the killer in Wichita, Kansas, and Raytown also match, police say. He's a white man in mid to late 30s, under 6 feet tall, weighing 170 to 180 pounds. So these articles are all within the same month of each other, have different descriptions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say.
And she said it looked like him. But she said he was gaunt, Vicky Webb. But she said the picture looked like him. But then these say 170 to 180 pounds, which isn't big. I don't, but it's not gaunt.
No,
so
especially in someone
feet,
under 6 foot.
Like,
yeah.
It'd be for some guys like 5'8 or something. That would, whatever. I don't know.
Relatively average, but not.
But
definitely
not
the word
gaunt. Yeah.
Yes.
Or, you know what, people can be not that skinny and still be skinny in the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That could be, too. We spoke briefly with one witness in Wichita before a woman was killed. The witness confronted the man. Oh, I didn't. Listen to me. I printed this shit out last night and I didn't catch this.
Oh.
So this newspaper spoke with that guy. He spoke briefly with one witness. Oh, no. Oh, no, they're reporting it. I just can't read. That's all.
Well, it's kind of small.
It is.
I mean,
he spoke briefly with one witness in Wichita before a woman was killed. The witness confronted the man, became alarmed, and called police, said Wichita Police Lieutenant Ken Landwehr. Landwehr declined to comment on the content of the conversation. A Raytown witness said the man acted calm and brazen, like he didn't care, and strolled away from the scene of the killing. FBI agents and police in five cities are trying to figure out what kind of person he is, where he may be, and what he may do next. Many theories are being explored. He may pose as a traveling salesman. He may force his way into a store with a gun. He may case the area and strike at a time when a single clerk is vulnerable.
You may say he's an HVAC.
Yes, exactly.
He may be
traveling. Mm-hmm. He may have invented a plot to kill in seemingly isolated incidents, keeping federal authorities out of the investigation. We don't know, said Joseph Newport, Assistant Chief Police Chief in Terre Haute. We just don't know. The most recent victim, Sarah Blessing, was shot at about 6:30 on May 7th in Raytown. An herbalist and with two stepsons, she was working part-time as a clerk at the boutique called The Store of Many Colors. This one looks like my mom, too. Like a very thin version of my mom back then.
Huh.
She
that's
really
interesting.
Does. Her hair and her glasses. It's... Well, I mean, it's just in one picture, though, too. Who knows? In a different picture, she looks very different. But and I think it's Robin Fuldauer. It looks a lot like a picture I saw of a woman that my uncle dated in the 80s.
I can't imagine your uncle dating, and I don't know why
he
it's
didn't,
not
that I know of, but there was one woman who lived with him like in the 80s.
Did she have children?
No, I don't think so. Well, she does now. I mean, I don't know.
Right, but not necessarily.
She's on Facebook, but from her profile, I could tell I did not want to speak to her for sure under any circumstances. Really? And I'm definitely not going to contact her about someone that she broke up with 50 years or 40 years ago.
No,
and,
that's,
you know.
Yeah.
But this is weird. But I don't think her profile was open enough that I could see, like, children and how old they were.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I should go back and look again.
It's a small town. One of us may very well know her.
Well, yeah, I'll give you her name.
All right, yeah.
But, she... Oh, yeah, I gave her name to Cap.
Yeah.
Because he asked about, like,
can we call him Cappy?
Whatever.
I'm going to call Cappy. Him Cappy.
Yeah. Okay, we'll call him Cappy. I like that.
Yeah, we had a dog that followed us through vacation once named that.
Did like, he tell you his name was Cappy?
No, like the village knew him. We were in Mexico. Oh. He'd follow us into restaurants, like upstairs into restaurants. Like you, the one people left their door a little like cracked one day, like some other people who were there, like we were all there for a wedding. And like they came in one day and he was just like chilling on their couch and their like, Cappy followed us everywhere.
Adorable.
Yeah.
Oh, well, especially after a dog. Definitely. Okay. Cappy.
I think he was at the wedding.
Cappy was?
Yes,
came
I think
along.
So.
That's so cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I have pictures of him in places.
We should have brought our cats to our wedding.
I know. Yeah.
We didn't bring anyone else.
That's true.
All the police departments met Wednesday to share case files. And to assist in FBI preparation of a psychological profile of the killer, but no breakthroughs were found. And it doesn't go on to say what.
And when was that?
Profile. This was in 92.
It's like so many things have changed.
Yeah.
I just wonder what other... Like,
so those are all the profiles and descriptions that we have of him... and or the murderer Billy Brosterman, and or the Texas I-35 murderer. So, I mean...
They're varied. I mean, nothing is like, you know, it's not like somebody's like, he looked like he was about 300 pounds and someone else was like, he's gaunt. But there's a fair amount of variance there.
There really is. You know,
what did he pick up his drinking habit? Like, would he have lost a bunch of weight? Or
I think they probably put bourbon in his bottle when he was a baby. Like, he always drank. And my dad said, maybe I shouldn't have bought him beer.
Like, it's all your fault.
I know, he's talking about, like, in 1960 what, when they were in high school. Like,
this is all your fault.
And my dad's only a year older than him, so what? Like, he bought him beer a year older?
Bless his heart.
So, that's the end of the podcast today. Those are all the things that we learned about him and his profile and his descriptions, and that they have DNA in Indianapolis.
And we're going to find out.
That'll be exciting. We might have more podcasts between now and then, I suppose, but it'll still
be
exciting.
Even when we find out and it's not him, it'll still be interesting because then we'll know who it is and we can
it'll be
into
good.
That and
learn
more about
it. It'll definitely be like
I feel like
good fodder for conversation.
She would listen to this, and with all the parts that get to get cut out.
Yeah, she'd be like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I've been robbed.
Well,
I thought you guys were just be talking on here.
Yeah.
No, we had to cut that part out.
Yeah, sorry.
So, that's the end for
today. Stay tuned for next time.
Yeah.
And have a great and wonderful day. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.